Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Time for the Buck Belue Show here on The Fan, 680 and 93.7. Road Dogg Gillespie, Sean Nerney, ready to get to work today. Another busy day on the show, a lot to get to. So we're going to hit a payoff right off the top here. Two Braves Nationals, the new Nationals, Braves Nationals tickets, two of them we'll give away right now. 404-231-1680, the number. You can also get $6 off an oil change today at Express Oil. Braves won 6-3 up in New York, wrapping up that road trip. And when the Braves score, you score at Express Oil all season long. So $6 off today at Express Oil Change and Tire Engineers. So payoffs right at the top of the show. We're sponsored by Wellstar Health System. More than health care, people care. Let's get to work. Let's get to the big take.
Bucks, big take.
Big take today. The Major League Baseball trade deadline is set for 4 o'clock this afternoon. The Braves, to this point, well, they've done very little. Yes, Anthopoulos did add outfielder Jacques Peterson earlier in the process, and that's been a huge help to this Braves team. But to stay in the chase for a fourth straight National League East Division title, this team needs more help, both in the bullpen and in the outfield. Let's check in again to see if anything's going on. I'm guessing we may hear some crickets here. Nothing to report at this moment. There you go. And this is disappointing because you look around the league, you see all these teams wheeling and dealing that are in the mix for a postseason spot. Braves fan base deserves more than nothing. Almonte and Heredia, simply put, are backup replacement level outfielders. And they've done a fine job filling in. Anthopoulos and even Fred the Barber know that they're not guys that are going to lead you into the postseason. Fred the Barber knows this, so I'm sure Anthopoulos and his staff realize this very much. The suits at Liberty Media either don't know or they just don't care. And while the Dodgers and Yankees continue to deal prospects for proven star players, the Braves continue to value their prospects as if they were gold bullion. Or maybe the priority is winning the AAA International League title. I just don't know. But look, Anthopoulos, Jacques Peterson, excellent addition earlier in the process. We need more. And we got until 4 o'clock to try to get that done. What do you say we chop it up?
Time to talk Braves. Let's chop it up. Presented by Haug Law Group, your local personal injury attorneys. HaugLawGroup.com.
Deadline 4 o'clock. Anthopoulos and his staff, I checked it out when I parked in the orange deck a little while ago. I could see the Braves executive boardroom, and it was packed. Everybody had a seat at the table. Alex was walking around the table. Looked like a lot of people were on the phone. Anthopoulos and his staff are busy looking for a deal that makes sense financially and for the future. What does this team need to make a run at the postseason in the final 60 games? And we don't need Fred the Barber telling us what we need. I think we all know what we need. I had a couple of Braves experts join me this week on the Buck Belue Show. Hall of Fame Braves broadcaster Joe Simpson told us this.
I would be trying to shore up the bullpen, especially in the setup roles. Not necessarily the eighth inning. I think Chris Martin does an admirable job there. Will Smith's been excellent closing games. I just think that with starters only going five or six innings, you're going to need some help in the sixth and seventh inning. And those are the kind of guys you're going to need to look for. And in particular, those guys seem to come in with the game on the line, the lead on the line in the sixth or seventh inning. And you need some strikeout guys or two down there in that role. Secondly, I'd love to have another bat in left field.
Our legendary Braves outfielder and current Braves TV analyst Jeff Francoeur told us yesterday this.
When you start looking at it and really breaking it down, I'd love to see us get a bat. I mean, I really do at this point. I think you need to add an outfielder, someone that can add some offense. You know, look, the pitching's been good, really. I mean, the pitching has been just fine. I know there's been struggles in the bullpen, but to me, at the end of the day, the idea of adding a bat and adding some offense is kind of, I think, probably the number one priority right now.
Yeah, 404-231-1680, the number you want to jump in here. Chime in on the trade deadline and what the Braves will do. Have to admit, it was a little frustrating, like last night, this morning, looking at all the action that's going down in Major League Baseball. You got the Dodgers trading four prospects, two of their top two prospects, to the Nationals to bring in Matt Scherzer and Trey Turner. And they added another guy in Duffy. The Yankees go out and they deal two prospects to the Cubs and bring in Rizzo and then Gallo earlier this week. So two big left-handed bats for the Yankees. Red Sox get Schwarber, trying to add what they already have. The Braves, we're pretty quiet. And then you start looking around, right? And you start looking at the reports that are swirling around the Braves and the trade deadline. And I keep seeing reports that the Braves should be going after Cleveland third baseman Jose Ramirez. And I keep thinking, that's crazy talk, man. I mean, we've got Austin Riley at third base for the next 5 to 10 years. So what are we going to do with that guy? It's a little bit frustrating right now because the Braves are capable of taking the National League East. We are better than the Mets and the Nationals. The Mets and the Phillies, I mean. We are better than those two ball clubs. And it's true, we've got some help coming back here soon. Enoa could be a setup guy, high-leverage guy in the bullpen down the stretch of the season. He's got that power arm that everybody wants. He's got the velocity. So he would be a good fit down in our bullpen. We'll get a boost whenever that happens, hopefully. And we got Travis d'Arnaud working on getting back in there soon at catcher. He's a middle-of-the-bat lineup. And those are two areas we just spoke about that the Braves need. I guess the positive is we didn't lose ground on this critical road trip. The Braves just got back on 9 games in 8 days, a 5-4 road trip. Braves are in survival mode right now at 51-52, heading into this weekend series at Truist against the Central Division leading Brewers. Got Tukey going tonight, game time at 7:20. You're going to hear that right here on the home of the Braves, 680 The Fan. Muller going tomorrow night at 7:20, and then Morton on Sunday afternoon at 1:20. So the Braves back home for a weekend series against the Brew Crew. Right now, it's all quiet. Anthopoulos and his staff are working hard, trying to find something that makes sense. And I tell you, Alex told us when he first got the job, I'll never forget that opening press conference with Anthopoulos, when without prodding, he stepped out and told us, anybody listening that day, he told us that he realized that Braves fans, they don't care anything about winning the International League, the AAA title. All they care about is winning at the Major League level. So the pressure's on Anthopoulos and his staff for the Braves to get something else done. Again, Jock Peterson has been a wonderful addition. Great move. Gave up very little to get him in here. A legitimate outfielder. Legitimate bat to replace Acuna at the top of the lineup. But that's not enough. It's not going to be enough. And we sit here about 4 hours out, 4 o'clock deadline. We sit here with a few hours to get something done. So, Nerney, what are you thinking, man? We're going to get something done here?
Yeah, we'll see. You know what? I'm not too up in arms. I'm under the impression this team's not built to win this year. I think you need more than one piece. So I'm oddly comfortable with Alex not giving away. I'm thinking the asking prices are too high right now. I think that you're going to have to give away, you know, Kyle Muller or some of these young prospects, maybe a Pache. And you know, I think AA is he's trying to evaluate this team. Is it worth giving up? And I think Chris Bryant, I mean, he would just be a rental. He would only be here for the end of the year. So if you're going after somebody that you have control of next year, then I can understand giving away these prospects. But I think at this point, you know, I think Chris Bryant could be the big name, but do you want to give away stuff for a one-year rental when you don't know if the team is built to win in the postseason?
Yeah, I saw one report surrounding Chris Bryant and the Braves' interest, and the report was saying that the Cubs would want a Shea Langeliers, our top catching prospect, back in return for a half a year, Chris Bryant. I hear you, Nerns. I hear what you're saying, and keep talking to me, man. Because I'm a passionate Braves fan, and I'm not ready to give up on this season. I mean, we're capable of just a tweak in the bullpen, a tweak with a legitimate Major League caliber outfield coming in. We've got a chance to beat the Mets and the Phillies and get back to the postseason again. But the
question is, are you beating the Dodgers? Do you think you're beating the Dodgers with those little tweaks? Because that's who you're going to have to get over ultimately. I would say no.
Yeah, I hear you, Road Dog. Keep talking to me, man. I need somebody in my ear at all times here the next 6 hours. How about Dan Matthews? What you got, Dan?
Well, I think if nothing else, you just want as a fan, you want the feeling we're going for it.
Give us a chance.
That's exactly it. Because here's where I'm going with this, is the Dodgers just won the World Series. They're saying that's not good enough. We want to continue this good thing. We want to make it even more. And we're going for it even more of giving up our guys to get the best pitcher in baseball, probably the best hitting shortstop in baseball when your guy's not on the field in Corey Seager. But, I mean, that's just – we were told years ago that's why we're making all these trades. That's why we're getting all these prospects. We're getting ourselves in position to make the huge moves. When's the huge move going to come?
Didn't we stand pat last year?
No, they made moves last year. What was it? I'm trying to think who they added. Or was it the year before that they made all the bullpen moves? They made moves last year. Yeah. I'm trying to remember which ones they were.
Short memory here. It doesn't seem like it. It's the Chevy Primetime Players Weekend at Lake Point Sports, featuring three big events, one for baseball, basketball, and what we all love, beach volleyball. Home team Brandon Leak and Brandon Joseph will be broadcasting on location 10-1 tomorrow. For event times, tickets, and other info, check out lakepointsports.com. And during that read, did we make a deal yet?
No, how could I forget? Last year they made the move for Tommy Malone.
Yeah, that was a big one. No wonder I forgot about that one. I mean, I could have done better than Tommy Malone.
Well, at least they made a move.
I mean, and I've been retired for years.
It was the heat of a pandemic. I mean, I get it.
You know, there's just something about what Nerney and Gillespie are saying that makes sense. But on the other side, it really sort of irritates me even more.
Well, you don't want to see your club kind of throw up the white flag on the season. I get that. But you got to look long term. I mean, let's go ahead and start preparing for next year.
What about the comment I made during the big take about we treat these prospects like they're gold bullion?
I agree with that. I agree with that. I mean, from the standpoint of, I get Drew Waters is starting to heat up, but there was a time where Drew Waters, it was that value was going way down with the way that he's hitting right now in the minors.
Well, look, we got Pache, we got Waters, we got Langeliers, we got Mueller, we got Davidson, De La Cruz, Harris, Trey Harris and Michael Harris outfielders. I mean, dude, we've got like 12 quality – are we going to keep all of them?
And that's the thing is, here's to your point, one in those five is going to be a good Major League Baseball player, and that's if you're lucky.
And if you hold on to all of them, guess what? At the end of all this, the other teams don't want them anymore.
Well, I mean, here's the thing is, I guess that kind of the buyer beware a little bit in this town is the trade that you made for Teixeira years ago, where you sent Elvis Andrus and a bunch of players, and it kind of fueled the Rangers run there in the early 2010s.
How about giving up Wainwright?
Well, that too. But I mean, but that's the thing. But you can't think that way. You can't think, oh man, you know, this guy could go on and be a Cy Young Award winner. I mean, obviously you project them to be a great baseball player. Otherwise, they're not in your organization. But you got to think now, but also have a mind towards the future. And yes, you don't go crazy and start spending every little bit of capital you have in the minor leagues. But at the same time, though, too, if you've stockpiled this much, you got to get off the wall.
Here's another thing, too. The Braves right now, and I said it yesterday, they lead Major League Baseball in attendance. You do nothing. You stand pat. You wave the white flag. Guess what? You won't end the season leading Major League Baseball in attendance. You just won't.
Well, I mean, some of that, too, with college football coming up, you're going to have some weekends where it's going to be the priorities, at least in the fans' mind, is somewhere else. But at the same time, though, too, here's what Braves fans have shown you. You give them a good product on the field, college football or football season or not, they're inside Truist Park. And if you got an opportunity to do that, go for it.
Well, we got a lot of ways to listen to the show. We got people listening online, streaming there. We got the fan app, and we've got a listener down in Jacksonville, Bobby Roche, who is chiming in saying it's not worth it to go for it. So he's with Road Dogg and Nernie on this. Maybe I can talk to Roche after the show and get him straightened out. We want to see something. That's all I'm saying. Give us a shot.
If we can make another jock, like a Bryce Ball. We gave up Bryce Ball, got Jock Peterson. If it's a little move like that, then I'm thoroughly behind it. But, I mean, Drew Waters, as of right now, you have nothing in left field. So unless part of that trade is to bring in a starting left fielder for the next few years, I'm not removing Drew Waters. Pache.
Well, we need a center fielder, man.
Well, Pache, I'm more comfortable moving him because I've seen what he can do with the bat at the major leagues, and it ain't pretty.
Yeah, well, this idea that Almonte could play center is, I sort of chuckle at that. I don't see a guy defensively that can go out there and play center field. But we're tracking it. We're on it here on the Buck Belue Show. Coming up next, you're going to find out who the top receivers in the Deep South are in college football. And you're going to hear from Coach Kirby Smart. It's the Buck Belue Show on the Fan, 680 and 93.7.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Is there chaos in your closet?
Look, Blouse, you've got some nerve hanging there like that.
I can't help it. I'm jammed in here next to this suit.
Hey, I'm a three-piece, all right? Which means I need a little more room.
You've got a lot of attitude for a linen suit.
I'm a polyester blend, sweetheart. There needs to be room for men's clothes, too.
Hi, I'm Christina, and at Artisan Custom Closets, we help families organize and simplify their closets with customized storage solutions. See what's possible for your home at artisancustomclosets.com. And then call us for a free in-home consultation.
Got the Buck Belue Show here on the Fan, 10 to 11 Monday through Friday here on 680 and 93.7. And if you missed the show between 10 and 11, you can listen later on the Buck Belue Show podcast. You can find that online, 680thefan.com, or on the Fan app. Listen anytime you get ready. You can also listen on your smart speaker, sponsored by South Point Financial Services. Listen on Amazon Echo, Google Nest, Apple HomePod, and more. All you got to do is just say, Alexa, play 680 The Fan. Let's bring on an SEC analyst and talk a little SEC football. And Chris Doering joins us on the Hobson & Hobson Newsmaker line, SEC Network analyst. Chris, great to have you on today. What was your takeaway from SEC Media Days 21 as you left? What were some of the takeaways you had?
Well, I think, Buck, first and foremost, the thing that I took away was genuinely how excited everybody was to be there. Not only us as media members, but the coaches and players themselves. After missing that time last year that usually gets the season kicked off, I think everybody was excited about having some sort of normalcy. It was great being able to sit down across from these players and coaches, and it was even better just to reconnect with so many of our colleagues that we have a chance to work with remotely throughout the year. You know, you and I are doing each other's shows together. It's great to connect with one another, share information, and be able to really celebrate the 2021 season. So that was my biggest takeaway in terms of just the overall excitement of everybody in attendance.
Yeah, I feel the same way about that one. So, Chris, how confident are you that Alabama will thrive again this season with all these first-year starters? They lost so many impact guys last year, and it looks like the media feels like they're going to win this thing in a landslide again.
It really is amazing, isn't it? What we've come to expect from Alabama year in and year out, despite, as you mentioned, so many new players at so many important positions, a new offensive coordinator, you lose a couple guys on the defense, but yet, you know, the bar has been set so high in the past with what Coach Saban and that culture there has been able to create year in, year out, despite those losses. It seems almost unfair. In fact, you know, we looked at at LSU last year and all that they had lost coming off the 2019 season, we weren't overly surprised at the type of season they had. But if Alabama was to go out and have a 500 season, the sky would be falling. So it's a testament to Coach Saban again and what they've been able to do, not only losing great players but refilling the coaching ranks time and time again. I would say this, though, Buck. I think this SEC West is the most difficult, most talented top-to-bottom division that I've ever seen in college football since we switched to divisions. You know, I was part of some really good SEC Easts back in the mid-90s, but I would say that the floor has been raised with Sam Pittman at Arkansas getting 3 wins in his first season after they only had 1 in the prior 3 seasons. You look at what Lane Kiffin's brought to Ole Miss and how good that offense was and how much they tested Alabama last year. You look at what we expect, a big jump from year 1 to year 2 with Mike Leach, as he's had at Washington State and previously at Texas Tech. All of these things lead me to believe it's not going to be easy for Alabama at all, not to mention the fact they come to Gainesville early in September, third week of the season. Like, if there's ever been a great spot for Florida to catch Alabama, it would be in that situation, first SEC game in September when you're acclimating to a new starting quarterback and trying to figure out the chemistry between the coordinator and some of those receivers and running backs. Like, that is a dangerous spot, too. So I'm with the media. I had Alabama as my number one team, but I don't think it's as clear-cut as what we've thought in some years past, perhaps.
Dogs were a distant second as far as the media picks went. One of the big keys, and look, Kirby and his staff did a great job during the free agency period. I mean the transfer period. But what do you make of Gilbert coming from LSU to Georgia with this idea he's going to move from tight end to X wide receiver? Dude, you're a legendary SEC wide receiver with a ton of success. What's that transition going to be like?
I love that you bring that up because I take an exception to that. I think a lot of times people feel like, oh, we can just take a great athlete and make him into a tremendous wide receiver. And I've seen people even say, all right, we're going to put Gilbert out at the X spot, take care of the void that was left by George Pickens. George Pickens is an outstanding wide receiver, a guy that's played the position for a long time. And I know Gilbert's split out and done some different things within the LSU offense last year. But you go back, his routes aren't great. It doesn't look like to me that he always knows what route he's supposed to be running. And, oh, by the way, you know, he's only been around the Athens campus for a short period of time, and I'm still not even sure that he's going to be eligible given, you know, time away. And I know that the Georgia folks feel like it's probably a likelihood that he's going to be ready to go. But just to think you're going to plug and play a guy and not miss a beat from losing George Pickens, I think is completely naive. At the end of the day, I'm really excited about Georgia's wide receivers. I'm excited about their whole team, and this is not me pandering to you and to your audience. I actually just submitted my top 25 yesterday to ESPN.com, and I got Georgia as the number one team in the country just because of what I saw from them in the last 4 weeks of the season with JT Daniels and what that offense can look like in terms of the pressure it puts on you. If you're gonna come up to stop the run, we're going to take advantage of opportunities down the field with one-on-one opportunities. If you're going to play back, we're going to run the ball for 300 yards like they did against Missouri. So I think it's going to be a great opportunity for them to take that step forward, especially in the East that I don't think is nearly as strong as what it has been in years past.
SEC Network analyst Chris Doering, legendary Florida Gator receiver, joins us on the show. Chris, do you have a dark horse team in the SEC?
Yeah, I mean, you know, one of the teams I'm excited about as I'm just talking down on the SEC East is Kentucky. And, Buck, I'm sure you had a chance to talk to Coach Stoops and some of the players that were in attendance there. Like, this is a program that I think has been completely developed at this point. You know, they're not a one-hit wonder anymore. They've been able to attract top talent, not only through the recruiting process, but you look at the transfer portal and some of the names that have landed there. Wandale Robinson, a great wide receiver from Nebraska, chooses to come to Kentucky. And I think one of the most important things you can do as a leader is make a tough decision. And he made a really tough decision to let his good friend Eddie Grant go as the offensive coordinator. They went out and got younger and from the NFL with some Joe Brady-type hire with Liam Cohen. Everybody's been raving about what that offense looked like in the spring. So I'm actually pretty high on Kentucky as people try to figure out. Cole Kubik even had them at number 2. I still have Florida at the second spot, but I think it's going to be a very competitive Kentucky team this year that is going to surprise a lot of people.
Speaking of the Gators, don't factor in the transition at quarterback. What would be the key to success for the Gators other than Emory Jones stepping up big?
Everybody talking about the quarterback spot is that's easy, low-hanging fruit. To me, it's the defense, Buck, and specifically the defensive line. Florida's defensive line was nothing like what we've typically expected from them in years past in 2020. They've got to be much better at creating some sort of pass rush with just their front four. They don't get a ton of penetration against the run. It's caused them to have to bring pressure on third down. You go back and look at that film against Texas A&M last year, Kellen Mond absolutely picked Florida apart on third down. I want to say he was 75% or more on a bunch of third down opportunities because the offensive line did a great job of picking up the blitzes. And when he wasn't protected, Kellen Mond knew where to go with the football to get it out of his hands quickly. So Florida's got to be better not only on third down, but first and second down against the pass, getting some pressure and being able to be disruptive against the run, too.
I'm about to reveal my top five wide receivers in the Deep South. So, Chris, you're the expert here in wide receiver play. Do you have a list that you could share on the top receivers down south?
Let me give you a couple guys. I mean, I'm very high on a couple SEC guys, and one of which is Treylon Burks. I think Treylon Burks is the best wide receiver in the SEC and in the Deep South, and maybe one of the guys that emerges as the best in the country this year. Justin Ross at Clemson is another guy I'm really fond of, and you can see the theme here. I like the bigger, more physical wide receivers, as Ross is a 6'4 guy. I love John Metchie. John Metchie, I don't know if you had a chance to talk to him at Media Days, but really impressed with the type of person he is and what it seems to be a great leader, kind of filling the void that was left by some of those departing seniors last year. I also look at Kayshawn Booty from LSU. I think he's got a chance to finish up developing into a top threat wide receiver like he did in the second half of the season last year. So, and I was going to throw another guy in there. Since we're expanding, you know, with Oklahoma, Texas coming in, I think we got to throw Marvin Mims in there, even though that's not a traditional Deep South guy. He is playing in the SEC. Well, Oklahoma will be playing in the SEC soon, so I think we got to include Oklahoma as a Deep South team now.
Good stuff, Chris. Chris Doering joined us on the Hobson & Hobson Newsmaker line. We appreciate you coming on the new show, man.
Anytime, Buck. Good luck with the show, man, and congratulations, brother.
Chris Doering, always great to have him on, dropping some knowledge on us. Speaking of the top five receivers in the Deep South, pretty good list that Doering has. I recognized a lot of those names. What do you think I share my top five list with the college football nuggets?
Tasty. Time for the College Football Nugget, presented by your locally owned and operated Ace Hardware. Find your neighborhood store at acehardware.com.
All right, number one on my list, Justin Ross from Clemson. Sounds like Ross will be back in action after dealing with that scary spinal condition. Word on the street says the Tigers are going to play him in the slot instead of that X wide receiver spot where he played previously. This guy's got ball skills on contested catches. His tops, just ask Alabama about that. He's averaged close to 17 yards per catch. Mismatch advantage, inside or outside. This guy's got NFL talent and maturity. Set for a huge season. I've got Justin Ross number one on my list. Number two, Treylon Burks, Arkansas. You heard Chris talking about him. This dude is a playmaker. He's polished up his route running and has developed into a dangerous all-around wide receiver. He can hurt you down the field. Also dangerous after the catch on short throws. His first two seasons, he racked up 17 plays over 20 yards. Explosive comes to mind. I've got John Metchie, Alabama number three. He flashed last season, 55 catches, averaged 16.7 yards a catch. Got this all-around skill set, great hands, outstanding route runner. There's a lot to like about Metchie. I've got Kayshawn Booty from LSU, number four. He's a playmaker that exploded onto the national scene last year when he lit up Ole Miss with that 14-catch, 300-yard, three-touchdown performance. This guy excels working the middle of the field on crossing routes, really strong physically running the slant.
Coach O!
Reinstalled that Joe Brady passing scheme. So
Booty is going to be featured big time this season.
Good to see you, Buck.
Competitive, athletic, expect a big year out of Booty. And then five, I'm going to go Jermaine Burton. Call me a homer if you want. This weapon did not look like a freshman last season. He burst onto the scene, making plays downfield, quickly developed chemistry with JT Daniels. Love Burton's press man release. That technique is outstanding, allows him to get separation. seems to have a really special knack for adjusting to the deep ball and making the catch. He's an advanced route runner, even though he's a young guy. Looking forward to him being one of JT's go-to guys and take another big step forward. Now, understand this is the Deep South list. All right, so that eliminates some of the other college football top-rated receivers. We're not idiots. We know Chris Olave is tremendous. We know Marvin Mims at Oklahoma is special. And as far as Gilbert goes, look, give me a chance. I'm anxious to see him play the X-wide receiver position. I anticipate he's going to be special there, too. But stay tuned, man. We'll be tracking all these players all season long. Want to mention, too, our 7th annual Tailgate Golf Classic presented by our good friends at Kroger. It's coming up Monday, August 30th at White Columns Country Club. Tournament sold out, unless you can bribe Scotty Mack to get in. This thing sold out. But we appreciate all of our sponsors. I'd like to mention all of them, but only have time to mention a few. Georgia Swarm stepping up. Got Aquarama Pools and Spas, Scanna, Entry Point Door, Corona Extra. We appreciate everybody involved with it. Looking forward to teeing it up with some of my good friends out there Monday, August the 30th. At a great track, man. Love White Columns Country Club. A really good golf course. Dan Matthews, really, really good. And a fun time.
And the game is still good. I mean, the game is even this late in the summer before football season, it's still playing.
Yeah, no doubt about it.
So the swing's still feeling good for you?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, we've got it in mid-season form right now.
There we go. I mean, you got to get the game out now because, I mean, pretty much as soon as Labor Day weekend hits, maybe you allow yourself that Sunday afternoon after the Saturday games if you're still feeling good. But then after that, I think that probably the club's going to hibernation for a bit.
Yeah, it's time to get really down to work, right? The 6 day a week work days. Work weeks, that is.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, let's get to what's popping.
Let's find out what's popping.
All right, the Hawks last night, first round pick in the NBA draft, took Duke's Jalen Johnson. 6'9", 220, a two-way combo forward. Versatile defender. He's really sort of a point forward. Now, he's raw. It's going to take him a couple of years to develop. And I saw where Woj also reporting there's optimism that the Hawks and John Collins are going to reach a deal at the start of free agency. Man, I was into the Olympic golf last night, checking that out, round two play. And the leader is Xander Schauffele, coming off an 8-under-63. Speaking of golf, Tiger Woods, you see the photograph, Tiger, seen putting weight on his surgically repaired leg, and that is certainly a good sign. UFC champ Amanda Nunes, she's won 12 in a row. She's getting the job done. She's been hit with the COVID thing. So her fight next Saturday has been postponed. Patrick Mahomes in the news. Did you see the rookie card sold for $4.3 million? Previous record with Tom Brady's rookie card at $3.1 million. So that's some of what's popping out there as we wait on Alex Anthopoulos and the Braves to make a trade, get this Braves team a little help. Trade deadline coming up at 4 o'clock today. All right, that takes us right in. It's time now, every day on the Buck Belue Show at 10:35. We've got the Bulldog Roundtable, and today you get to hear from head coach Kirby Smart.
The Fan is proud to be the official sports talk station of the Dogs, and it's time for Bulldog Roundtable with Buck Belue.
25-20, fourth sideline, 15-10-5, get in there, touchdown!
Bulldog Roundtable is proudly presented by Georgia's Own Credit Union. Find out how you can become one of Georgia's Own at georgiasown.org. And by Haug Law Group, your local personal injury attorneys. You can't spell Haug without the U, the G, and the A. HaugLawGroup.com.
And that's going to be the ball game.
Georgia will win this ball game.
Only on The Fan, 680 and 93.7 FM.
All right, had a chance to sit down with the Bulldog head coach Kirby Smart last week, and I asked him right off the bat what his confidence level was with this team entering the season.
Well, I'm extremely confident. I think every year we go into the season, if you recruit well and you put together a good staff and you have good players, you have an opportunity to go out and win every game you play. And ultimately, at the University of Georgia, that's our goal. We want to go out and win every game we play, and that doesn't change year to year. The people that are playing in it change, and this year it seems some of the question marks are at different positions than they've been in the past, but isn't that every year? I mean, that's what it is every year. It's a different question mark you got to answer.
So offensively, what do you think the offense is going to look like this year?
Well, I think you saw some glimpses of that in the last four games last year. You know, Coach Munkin is a traditional guy that enjoys throwing the ball. We certainly enjoy throwing the ball. I think JT's proven that he can make good decisions with the interception to touchdown ratio he had was phenomenal. So a lot of it depends on what weapons we have and what guys are healthy. So I'm fired up to watch those guys and see those guys compete. I got to see it some in the spring. So if you don't score points, you don't win national championships. You got to score points, and that's what we want to be able to do.
JT looks pretty healthy walking around, got to be more comfortable in the scheme. So what are some of the qualities you like about JT Daniels?
I like a quarterback who spends time on the particulars of the defense. He watches a lot of tape. Last year he had a routine he goes through Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday of what he watches. Very similar to the way Jake went about it. He takes notes. He asks really good questions. That way you can take advantage of mistakes defensive make or when you recognize something that's a tell sign. He spends a lot of time on that, and I think Coach Munkin and the offensive staff have done a great job preparing him for that.
Yeah, I was hoping maybe I could talk you into coming over and maybe throw into some of these weapons you have. This receiving core you've put together the last couple of years has been somewhat of a weakness. This year looks like a strength.
Well, I don't know. I think that's yet to be determined. With George, I think it would have definitely been that way. I think people may be overanalyzing, may looking at it. I want to see what we have health-wise, see how healthy we are. I think when you add the tight ends and running backs into that equation, probably the best overall group, but we got to throw the ball to the tight ends and the running backs because we don't have as much depth as we've had at receiver with a couple key losses. I think we had three guys going to the portal at that position, so we don't have the depth we've always had, but we got some good key players. With George there, it would be an elite group, I think.
You know, I didn't think there was any way you could replace Sam Pittman when he left, but Matt Luke looks like he's done a great job for you, both recruiting and getting these guys coached up. What are you expecting out of this group coming into the season?
Excited. We got to get the right pieces of the puzzle in the right spots, and that's always the critical decision is where a guy plays. And we've got some talented guys that maybe don't have the experience of some other guys who have played, but the younger guy may be as talented or more talented. So putting those guys in the right puzzle piece, Matt will be in charge of that, Coach Munkin and myself, and we've got to make the right decision.
D-line looks strong, maybe a little underrated coming into the year. How do you see it?
Well, I'm excited. I don't know that we have two really good veteran starters with Devontae deciding to return and then Jordan returning. Boy, we got some great players there, but we don't have the depth that we've had some years. But across the board, when you throw in Jalen Carter and Zion Logue and the outside guys, Trevon, and some of the outside backers, we're excited to see what they can do. They're a fun group to coach, and when you look across the front seven, we feel like that's the strength of our defense.
Good free agency period for you. Filled some holes there. A free transfer.
Yeah.
It seems like the free agency these days.
That's what people call it.
Feeling good, better about the secondary. Coming out of the spring, you got to look at all these, most of the young guys during the spring, and looks like you've shored that up a little bit.
Well, I think time will tell. That's certainly where the youth is. You know, we feel like we got two safeties because of LeCount's injury. Chris Smith got to play a lot. Lewis has started for almost 2 years. So when you start looking at safety, we have two good safeties, but we don't have the depth. We have we're low on numbers there. A couple guys transferred. So we got a couple guys in. At corner, we don't have experience, but we've got four or five guys we feel good about. So we're going to have to find out how good they are and find out if we have to protect them or can they play. The good news is they'll get tested every day and practice pretty good.
Clemson out of the box right off the top. This is a game I love seeing played, and we'll see it over the next 10, 15 years play a lot here. So what do you think? Clemson right out of the gate.
I'm excited. You know, we got a big season to play after that. We've got a lot of good SEC opponents to play, but I think the offseason is much more exciting when you open with a game like that, especially in Charlotte, North Carolina. We recruit that area really hard, so do they. And, you know, we're not very far apart, and as you know, as good as anybody, that traditional rivalry is great to have, and I wish we could play it every year because I think that's what the fans want.
Yeah, good to sit down with Kirby and talk about this 2021 Bulldog team. The Chris Doering has coming into the year ranked number one. How about that? All right, coming up next, the latest on Matt Ryan's situation with the Falcons. And let me warn you, this is not good. It's the Buck Belue Show on The Fan, 680 and 93.7.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Fan is ready for Braves season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season.
It's the Buck Belue Show here on The Fan. So glad you're with us today on 680 and 93.7. Wellstar Health System, our sponsor of the show, and we appreciate them very much. This show is a lot like you've got the treadmill, right, and you got it turned up to 10, and then you jump on immediately and you're starting a full sprint for a whole hour, man. Glad to be with you. 10 to 11 Monday through Friday. Saw where the boys in the locker room, they were up at training camp, Falcons training camp again today, and 680 The Fan will be live from 21 training camp for the Falcons in Flowery Branch. And I want to thank our sponsors of that, the good people at Duffy Realty of Atlanta and attorney Ken Nugent, two outstanding sponsors backing the boys up there at Falcons training camp. Speaking of the Falcons, the news is not good for Matt Ryan. Matt Ryan in a heap of trouble, and we're only a couple of days into training camp. Two practices into training camp, and Matt Ryan is already without two of his top three offensive tackles. And we're 2 days in. And this means that we've got a rookie left guard starting at right tackle today for the Atlanta Falcons. Talk about dangerous. I bet Matt right now is probably getting fitted for additional rib protectors. Getting ready for this. You got Gano, who's walking around with a neck brace on. You've got McGarry that has some mysterious injury. And look, even if he was healthy, he was probably going to have trouble pass blocking effectively, even if he was 100%. I mean, we've seen that in the first couple of years. This is somewhat embarrassing, I believe, for the Falcons. And for the Falcons fans and the Matt Ryan family, it's got to be somewhat frustrating. I mean, you're 2 days in after 7 months off, and you've already got two of your top three offensive tackles not dressing out and practicing, injured. And I just heard from one of my sources there at the Falcons camp, Matt did show up early today, and it wasn't to watch yesterday's practice video. It was to get fitted for additional rib protectors coming into the season. I mean, he's been sacked like 500 times over the last three seasons. And now this, two of your top three tackles are not available. And so we're taking our rookie Mayfield, who was targeted to compete at that left guard spot, and then in our first practice, he's the starting right tackle opposite Jake Matthews.
Well, you didn't feel good about the offensive line to begin with, and I will say this, the glass half full on this, you're not even in pads yet. That's not even until Tuesday. So, and the other part of this as well is if the offensive line isn't where you think it is, you're not going to play them much in the preseason anyway, then just don't play them. Get everybody healthy and get to the season.
You know, two things. Run the football, even if you go three out punt. Run the football. And then, the quick passing game comes to mind. Get that ball out of there fast, man. Before, even if that new right tackle didn't even lay a hand on that left defensive end, that ball's out of there quick. Matt Ryan, all the rib protectors in the world won't protect him from a situation like this. This is believable that something like this would be going down. But at the end of the day, it's really, really frustrating. And I'm not the one getting hit. I mean, I wonder what Matt's saying when he gets home at night. Or the poor wife is saying, did you get rid of that ball quick today out there at practice? And when the game starts, you better get rid of it quicker. All right, it's time now for the final word. Braves fans, keep the faith. Keep the faith. Anthopoulos, he told us when he got the job that he realized the Braves fans didn't care about winning the AAA championship. It was all about winning in the big leagues. All right, 5 hours remain on the clock for the Braves to add some pieces that can help this team make a run at the postseason. Now, it may not be a blockbuster, but if Alex can add a legitimate hitting major league caliber outfielder and boost the bullpen with another quality arm, we've got a chance. Maybe not a chance to compete with the Dodgers or Padres for the opportunity to go to the World Series, Road Dog. But at least a chance to stay in the mix the rest of the summer, win the division, and make the postseason. The National League East is doable. We've seen that. Braves are better than the Mets and the Phillies. Dan Matthews passing along this word that John Heyman, covering Major League Baseball, on Twitter, saying that the Braves will add bullpen help and a bat that plays the outfield. If that makes you feel any better. Make you feel better, Dan?
It does. I mean, the second part right there, I think, says make a run at Chris Bryant. I'd like it. And it's immediately plug and play, cleanup hitter in your lineup there makes you better. Get Travis d'Arnaud back. Automatically, this lineup becomes better.
Man, this week went by fast. Went by really, really fast. The show goes by fast. And again, if you miss the show between 10 and 11, you can listen later. Buck Belue Show podcast you can find online at 680thefan.com or on the Fan app. You can listen anywhere, anytime. Nerney, Gillespie, great job this week. You guys are awesome. Great being with you, too. We'll do it again next week. Till then, have a great weekend, everybody.
Great to see you, Buck.
Thanks, Coach. Go Tigers.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Sir Robert, I want to thank you for your time. I just don't think you're the right person for this position.
I don't understand. Was it something I said?
Well, we did a background check on you and found some things of concern.
If you're in charge of hiring for your company, you know how helpful a background screening can be. That's why companies that use Horizon Background Screening make smarter hiring decisions. Don't let the wrong hire put your company at risk. Get the real story on your candidates at horizonscreening.com. Horizonscreening.com.